सवीर्यं कर्वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
This is basically to bring our awareness to the chakras.
The prayer is basically tuning in your mind and intellect to be able to concentrate and absorb the knowledge. It's a prayer basically to focus your mind and intellect in the study. To make the study more useful and beneficial. We'll chant 38 to 42, chapter 4.
नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिह विद्यते
पवित्रमिह विद्यते
तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः
तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः
कालेनात्मनि विन्दते नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दते श्रद्धावान् लभते ज्ञानं
श्रद्धावान्
लभते ज्ञानं तत्परसंयतेन्द्रियः ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिं
ज्ञानं
लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिं अचिरेणाधिगच्छति श्रद्धावान् लभते ज्ञानं तत्परसंयतेन्द्रियः ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिं अचिरेणाधिगच्छति अज्ञश्चाशद्धधानश्च संशयात्मा विनश्यति नायं लोकोऽस्ति न परः न सुखं संशयात्मनः अज्ञश्चाशद्धधानश्च संशयात्मा विनश्यति नायं लोकोऽस्ति न परः न सुखं संशयात्मनः योगसंन्यस्तकर्माणम् ज्ञानसञ्चिन्नसंशयम् आत्मवन्तं न कर्माणि निबध्नन्ति धनञ्जय योगसंन्यस्तकर्माणम् ज्ञानसञ्चिन्नसंशयम् आत्मवन्तं न कर्माणि निबध्नन्ति धनञ्जय तस्मादज्ञानसम्भूतम् हृस्तं ज्ञानासीनात्मनः चिद्वैनं संशयं योगम् आतिष्ठोतिष्ठ भारत तस्मादज्ञानसम्भूतम् हृस्तं ज्ञानासीनात्मनः चिद्वैनं संशयं योगम् आतिष्ठोतिष्ठ भारत।
Talking about gaining that knowledge from a guru through prostration, through questioning, and through service. And this knowledge, once you gain, you will be free from delusion, the notion that you are an individual, a karta. When the delusion, notion, karta is removed, all the effects of karta bhav, which is the pap and punya, gets dissolved. then you reach the self. And once a person goes within and starts becoming more and more conscious, that is exactly what he will see outside as well. We today, since we are at the gross level, we don't see the same kind of consciousness in other beings. If at all, what we call as love is not because of the oneness that we feel, it is because the other objects and beings are catering to us either directly or indirectly, tangibly or intangibly. Therefore you say, I love. You say that you love your children so much. If it is true that parents love their children so much, then how on earth this honor killing would be there? You understand? The moment they don't cater to your likes and dislikes, you immediately become against them. So this is not love, this is actually hatred. So he says, those who go within themselves and get closer and closer to Atma, and they become Atma, they become one with the consciousness, they are absolutely vibrating with consciousness. Such people start seeing consciousness everywhere, even in the so-called unmoving objects. Then in 36 he says, even if you are the most sinful of sinners, it really doesn't matter what your past is. If today you gain the knowledge, you shall verily cross over all sin by the raft of knowledge. Just like how when a person wakes up, the entire day dream falls. You could have been submerged in darkness for hundreds of years, but you don't have to light a lamp for hundreds of years for the darkness to be vanished. You just have to light the lamp at that moment, instantly darkness vanishes. Similarly, it is the bhav that I am a papi, I am a punyatma, because of that I go on creating karma for me and I am getting bound in that. So that bhav which is coming from the basis of jnanam is removed by jnanam, then there is nobody doing pap, there is nobody doing punya, there is nothing like that. All pap, everything gets completely dissolved. So even if you are the most sinful of all sinners, that is why there is no need to be feeling guilty that I have done this much, I have done that much of pap. It really doesn't matter. From today backwards, we could have been worst of sinners. But today, the moment we gain the knowledge, the moment the awareness strikes us, it's all gone. Just like the snow could have been there for years, but when the sun rises, instantly the snow starts melting. So really, you don't have to keep on, bringing it back and saying, oh, I've done that part, I've done this part. In fact, there are many things that we have done, we are not aware. We don't even know. So it really doesn't matter what all path we have done. What matters is, from today, start gaining that knowledge. And he says, in 37, as blazing fire reduces fuel to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge reduce all actions to ashes. See, what we need to understand is, I gave you the example of somebody who is getting scared of darkness, is afraid, is in fear. The fear can be removed when the darkness is removed. So if you, moment you light a lamp, the darkness is removed. Once the darkness is removed, there can be no more fear. So he says, the blazing fire reduces the fuel to ashes. So does the fire of knowledge reduce all actions to ashes. And the fire is within the wood. Wood is the fuel. And fire is within the wood. You just churn the wood and the fire gets ignited from within and then it burns the fuel completely. Similarly, the guru just churns your personality, then the fire starts burning within the jnana agni. The jnana agni completely burns the fuel, the vasanas. The vasanas gets completely burned by jnana. When the ignorance is gone, there is no question of any burden that you have been carrying, unnecessarily you have been carrying. Actually, there is no such thing as ego. There is no such thing as individuality existing. But you have assumed it, as a result of which you are carrying the burden. It's like stupidly you are carrying your luggage on your back while sitting in the plane. You don't have to carry it on your back. You just keep it, the flight will carry it. The moment you understand, the burden is gone. So all the burden is because of your ignorance. So he says knowledge will burn it completely. Though you say that we did verse 38, we'll chant 38 and then we'll do a little more of the 38 and then go to 39. Let's chant verse 38.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham, nahi jnanena sadrisham, pavitramiha vidyate, pavitramiha vidyate, tatsvayam yoga samsiddhaha, tatsvayam yoga samsiddhaha, kalenatmani vindati, kalenatmani vindati, nahi jnanena sadrisham, pavitramiha vidyate, tatsvayam yoga samsiddhaha, siddha kalenatmani vindati.
Really, there is no purifier here in this world like knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing more which could purify you than knowledge. Knowledge is the greatest purifier. It purifies you of all mala. The mala is kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, bhaya. All these are the mala that is there in us. All this can be purified not by doing punya activities. There are so many paap that you don't even know. So if you say, if I have done 100 paap, then if I do 100 punya, it will get sorted out. It doesn't get sorted out like that. You have to gain the knowledge. Knowledge alone purifies. The moment desire comes, the moment you are ignorant of your true nature, you start imagining yourself to be something other than what you are, as a result of which your desires come up. And the moment you have desire, then what happens? The fever starts. When the desire is fulfilled, grief fever starts. The desire is interrupted, anger fever starts. All this heats up your body, Ushna. And when you have a desire, whether you fulfill the desire, you don't fulfill the desire, you continue to have agitation. You go and ask a fellow who has fulfilled the desire, he is still craving for more, he is not happy and he is afraid of somebody else taking it away from him. If not somebody else, time taking it away from him. You understand? Supposing you are attached to your beauty, everybody is saying happy birthday, but you are worried because you got old. And as you are getting old, your beauty will be taken away by time. You understand? If you have any doubts, please look at the picture of Gayatri Devi ji when she got old. You understand? That has beauty in its own merit, old age. But I am talking about the beauty that you had at youth will have to diminish. It cannot have. So, therefore, when you fulfill the desire also there is agitation. When you don't fulfill the desire also there is agitation. Dukkha comes. Dukkha is another mala. Did I talk about that story of two mad people in a hospital? One fellow who had fallen in love with a woman? No. See, a doctor was in research and he was promoted as a dean, and he was going through inspection of the patients in the, you know, he was inspecting all the patients in the hospital for his research. And he had taken one of the doctors who had already been there in the hospital. So they had been meeting so many patients and he is doing case study on each one of them. And a particular person, he was holding on to a picture of a woman, hugging and crying and, you know, kicking his legs, So he asked, what happened to him? Why did he go mad? Says he fell in love with this woman, but this woman did not marry him, so he's gone mad. So after a while they proceed and they meet so many other patients, and then they come to one more fellow. There that fellow is also having a picture of a woman, and they happen to be the same woman that the other fellow had. What about this guy? So he says that woman who did not marry that guy, therefore he went mad. This guy married that woman. Therefore he is not mad. So in other words, when your desire is fulfilled also, there is shoka. When that desire is unfulfilled also, there is shoka. Dukkha comes, and that is another kind of mala. So the attachment, the moment you have attachment, you have all these dirts. All these dirts cannot go, it has been gathered for janmas together. All these dirts can go only through knowledge. And here when we talk about the word knowledge, we don't mean information. We mean awareness. Remember this. What purifies you is not information. In fact, information burdens you further. Like you take your tiffin box with you to go to the office. It's a little heavy. During lunchtime, you eat the food. The food is distributed in your body. You're not feeling that heaviness. Food is digested. It is not burdensome anymore. Before it got digested, you were carrying it. It is a burden. So this information is not knowledge. In fact, so many people who have this information, they, instead of being purified, they do detrimental things to themselves. See, at least if you believe, you do not know, there is something you could do. You will be careful when you are walking, when you are talking. But if you believe, start believing, you know. But what you actually claim as knowing is only information, and you don't really know, then in every step you will make mistakes. Isn't it? Every step you take, you will start committing mistakes. This is the problem today. They have made this knowledge of Tattvamasi so common. You understand? One angle, if you start thinking, you must stop conducting such classes only. Actually, that is why, if you go to the traditional method, they only teach to people who come to them. That also, like I told you, so many years of service after that. Then when they find the Sishya ready, then they give knowledge. Anytime the Sishya becomes impatient, then they know you are not yet ready. How do you know you are not ready? The very fact that you are asking for it. You understand? If you are ready, you won't be asking for it. Meaning, you have come to the Guru, you are doing service, you leave it to the Guru to give you the knowledge. So, what is happening is, when you make it common, make it available, the value of it is gone. And not only that, it's not that we want to somehow maintain the value of it. The problem is, they start thinking that yes, I know. Like, I've been in an ashram, I've studied the Upanishads, I know what the Upanishads talk about, I've been giving lectures, I'm very famous, known as somebody who can give beautiful lectures on Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and all these things, I know. So what happens is, you start making mistakes, because you really don't have the awareness. So when he says knowledge here, what purifies is not information, but that awareness. Remember that. So verily there is no purifier here like knowledge. He who is perfected in yoga finds it in the self in time. He will not find it outside, he will find it within himself in time. And secondly, he says, Tat Swayam Yoga Samsiddha. See, this Yoga Samsiddhi, yoga also carries the meaning of balance, being balanced. Samatvam Yoga Muchyate. Lord Krishna already said that in the third chapter. No, sorry, second chapter. Samatvam Yoga Muchyate. So, balance. Yoga also means balance. What is mind? Mind never remains in balance. Mind is something that always remains in extremes. The moment you come to the balance, mind becomes extinct. When mind becomes extinct, Atma becomes what? Jagrat. You will start seeing Atma. The problem is the mind. Mind is nothing but extremes. Remember this. Mind never stays in the middle path. It's always in the extremes. And it's very interesting. When a person, like I told, I think in the last week we discussed this, a person goes too much indulging in the senses, then he gets tired. When he gets tired, he goes to the mandir. Then in mandir he gets tired, then he goes to the senses. So a fellow who gets very tired with senses goes to the mandir. And a fellow who gets very tired with mandir goes to the senses, because he is definitely going to be in ati, in excess, in extreme. You understand? So like a pendulum, I've given this example before also, when we did Samatvam Yoga Muchate, I think I've given this example. When you see a pendulum, when a pendulum is swinging towards left, it is actually trying to gain momentum to swing towards right. When it is swinging towards right, it is gaining momentum to swing towards left. Similarly, so many people who go on suppressing their anger, they are swinging towards completely coming to a state of outburst. You understand? Those who have outburst, they are going back to quietude. This is what continuously happening. Right? So many of us do this. People who run after money. People who run after money, they will be attracted towards sadhus who do not have anything for themselves. You understand? They do not have anything for themselves. Oh, what a simple man. Because they are running after money. You understand? So if a sadhu, supposing, comes and gets down in a BMW, and if he's a true sadhu also, they'll say, hey, this fellow must be bakwas. You understand? These fellows are running after money. Therefore, they will be attracted to simplicity. And there are people who are very much denying. And inside, the desire for money is growing so much. They will be attracted to these sort of people. So therefore, mind is something. Mind, another, or rather you can write mind and within bracket you can put extremes. Mind never stays in the middle path. A fellow who was a very, very rich man living in palace, royal family, who was a great vidwan in Veena, who used to play Veena, and he was a great vidwan in that. He, having got indulged in so much of wealth, wanted to go back to tapasya. So he was attracted to Lord Buddha. So when he went there, nobody ever could do such tapasya like him. So he was doing so much of tapasya that he was completely emaciated and he was looking completely different, etc., etc. So much of tapasya, so much of denial. So all the disciples went and said, what has happened to him? He is doing so much of tapasya like this. Buddha said, obviously, this would be the result because he's going from one ati to another ati. So quietly Buddha goes and asks him, I heard that you are a great vidwan in the instrument of Veena. So please tell me, I want to know something. Can you play Veena when the strings are loose? He said, obviously not. So can you play Veena if the strings are extremely tight? Would the music come out of it? He said, no. So then he immediately said, then I don't have to teach you anything, you already know. I just want to tell you one thing. Similarly, if you are in any extremes, you cannot bring the melody of divinity from within. So therefore he says here, tat svayam yoga samsiddhaha. Neither going into denial, nor going into indulgence. Tat svayam yoga samsiddhaha. When you attain that siddhi, when you get established in the siddhi of being balanced, being in the middle path, neither denial nor
indulgence. Kalena atmani siddhati. In time, the atma will evolve from within. Atma is not going to come from outside, it is within. But it is we who don't allow the atma to evolve from within by going to the extremes. This is the problem. That's why I said, if you, like Josh Billing says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing so many things which ain't so. So the moment, you know, you see, we tend to go to sleep. Supposing the watchman is not working, he has not come to work, that day maybe you will be very alert. The watchman is there, you tend to become little relaxed. So this is what happens. The moment you start misunderstanding information to be knowledge, the moment that happens in you, then you will not allow the knowledge to come from within. Whereas here, he clearly understands information has got nothing to do with wisdom. And he maintains himself in the tapasya of balance, neither in the extreme denial nor in the extreme indulgence. Follows the middle path, slowly, slowly, knowledge reveals itself from within. This is what he says in verse number 38. So if we want to really gain that knowledge, we need to follow the middle path. Verse 39.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, shraddhavan labhate jnanam, tat parasayatendriyah, tat parasayatendriyah, jnanam labhva param shantim, jnanam labhva param shantim, achirenadi gacchati, achirenadi gacchati, shraddhavan labhate jnanam, తత్పరసయ్యేంద్రియః జ్ఞానం లబ్ధ్వా పరాం శాంతిః అచిరేణాది గచ్ఛతి.
శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే జ్ఞానం. వెరీ ఆఫన్ కోటెడ్ దిస్ పోర్షన్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఆఫన్ కోటెడ్. శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే జ్ఞానం. హీ హూ హస్ శ్రద్ధ, హూ ఇస్ డివోటెడ్ తత్పరః, హూ పర మీన్స్ సుప్రీం, తత్ పర మీన్స్ దట్ ఇస్ సుప్రీం. For one who, that is supreme, sayatendriya, samyatendriya means one who is very well controlled, sense controlled, who has subdued the senses, attains knowledge. He says, one who has shraddha, who considers that atma jnanam as ultimate jnanam, and who has subdued the senses, attains knowledge. Not one who goes to weekly classes. He is not mentioning all these things, mostly because Krishna was not connecting any weekly classes. So the thing is, having attained knowledge, firstly this person attains knowledge. Having attained knowledge, he erelong gains supreme peace. See, these words, especially Shraddha and sense control, Yatendriya, these are all misunderstood. Sense control is mostly understood as sense denial. Denial will only make your senses go deep into you. It will start occupying your mind. Then you start becoming a sensual person. In the book, Governing Business and Relationship, Swamiji talks about this. Who is a sensual person? Who is a spiritual person? Who is a materialist? Who is a person who is spiritual? How do you determine these things? Just because somebody who is sitting amongst material world, can you say that he is materialist? Just because somebody who is sitting around Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, God's pictures, can you say that he is a spiritual person? It is not where you are, but what you are. So the thing is, sense denial would make the sense occupy your mind so much. This is what is happening to us. By constantly fighting with sense, you actually lose to the sense. By fighting with sense, you can never conquer sense. It is impossible. By fighting with anger, you can never conquer anger. By fighting with greed, you can never conquer greed. What we are trying to do is fighting with greed. I'm getting angry. Then push that anger so deep, and every time anger comes, you are fighting with anger, and you are pushing it deeply, and outside you are saying Hari Om, Hari Om. You understand? But what is actually happening is inside you are becoming a suppressed, repressed individual. So sense control, then how do you gain control over your senses?
Acknowledging whatever you are feeling, and then
it lets you go. Till it lets you go, you can't let it go. Till the sense, like by acknowledge, it will let you go. If you understand it fully.
For understanding, what do you have to do?
Accept,
examine, and then slowly, without suppressing. Maybe one is a higher acknowledge.
See, the natural phenomenon that happens outside, when we don't understand, we are scared. All sorts of stories are created around them, and then we are afraid of them. But when man starts understanding how they function, what is actually happening, then he starts gaining control over them. He begins to use them for his betterment, for the betterment of the entire universe. You understand? But when you don't really understand how it is functioning, what is happening, then you are scared. Similarly, with senses also. With anything, you need to understand, as she rightly says. But to understand, you need to observe. You need to become a witness. Not fight with it. Right? When anger comes, we seldom become aware of it. It is an opportunity for us to go deeper and gain perfect control over anger. But what we do is, we always fight. Why are you coming? You are coming to destroy me. Please don't come. Oh God, please make sure that anger never comes in me. You understand? Whether it is anger, whether it is love, whether it is calm, whatever it might be, you need to become a witness to it. Unless you become a witness to it, unless you observe it from outside, not allowing it, not becoming one with it. What is happening in us is either we suppress it or we become one with it, and before anybody realizes, even you realize you do all sorts of nonsense. Then you say, my God, did I do this? I never realized that I do these things when I get angry. But you did it. You allow the anger to sway. So instead of participating in anger, just watch it. How it is coming. How it slowly makes you lose your temper, lose yourself, go mad. How it makes your body heat, you know, become warm, heated up. You don't see it. In fact, when a person is angry, he's not even aware that he's angry. You tell him, it's okay, don't get angry. He says, I'm not angry. Just keep quiet. I'm not angry. You understand? He is not even aware that he is angry. So the way to gain control over any of your senses is through observation, is through witnessing, is not through fighting with it. Then the senses starts getting subdued to you. This is the point. But already if you decided sense contact is bad, sense contact is negative, anger is bad, if you are already judgmental about it, then you are obviously going to fight with it. And therefore obviously you are not going to be in control of it. The problem is you are going to postpone. But postponing, what you are doing is, you are allowing the anger to grow at a subtle level, gather more momentum, and one day it will burst like a volcano. That is why they say, a person who has been every now and then showing his anger is incapable of committing a murder. But a person who has been suppressing his anger so much, he can go to the extent of committing a murder. You understand? So therefore, sense control. The moment the word control comes in anything, control can come only by understanding, by being a witness, by remaining a sakshi, by observation, by seeing all that it does to you. You are not aware what it is doing to you. Happily you keep a cigarette in your mouth and you smoke. You are inhaling, you are exhaling. But the smoke, once it's gone in, when you inhale, uske baad wo andar jaake kya kya kar rahe. You understand how it goes and affects this, affects that, what happens subsequently to this part, what happens subsequently to this, and as a result of which, what happens to your ability in the other areas. You understand? Then your relationship, everything, the more and more you start becoming aware, would you be smoking thereafter? You understand? You know how George Bernard Shaw defines cigarette? Very interestingly, he says, little tobacco rolled in a piece of paper, fire at one end and a fool at the other. That's what he says. So the thing is, there is no awareness. You know, and don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. In fact, the fellow knows the ill effects of cigarette. So it is not even just knowing, it is becoming aware. So it's little more than understanding also. So that is why, supposing you tell the fellow when you smoke, don't tell him it's bad, and irritate him further, and he gets more tense and he wants to smoke more. He knows that. If he starts smoking with awareness, slowly sees when this going, this is happening, this is the moment it becomes aware, urge slowly goes away. They cannot stay together. Awareness and addiction cannot stay together. Awareness and anger cannot stay together. Awareness and lust cannot stay together. Awareness and greed cannot stay together. Awareness and jealousy cannot stay together. None of this mala can stand the force of awareness. Therefore, it says, you must have subdued your senses if you want to gain knowledge. If you have not subdued your senses, if you have not even become aware of what your senses are doing, you will be going with your senses. It's just a question of time. There is no question. You have to cross the senses and go. You have to cross the senses and go to the divinity within. That is why in some of the places like Kajuraho and all those places, they say the pictures are there of sensuality outside. You cross that and go inside Shivlinga as well. So, in other words, you cannot fight with senses, and once you start fighting with senses, what happens is you are not crossing the senses. Unless you cross the senses, you don't go to the Shiva within, the divinity within. So, the idea is to cross the senses. How do you cross the senses? You cross the senses by becoming a witness. There is no other possibility. So therefore, in the third chapter also Lord Krishna said, Yasvindriyani manasa niyamya aravate arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam hasaktasya vishishyate. Verse number 7. In verse number 6, chapter 3, what did he say? Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasa smaram indriyata vimudatma mityacharasya ucchate. One who controls his organs of action, doing nothing with his organs of action, but sits down mentally indulging in the senses, he is a vidyacharya, he is a hypocrite, he is a deluded fool. That's what he said. In 7, immediately he says, what do you have to do then? He says, yes, indriyani manasa. By the mind you control the indriyas. Mindful, by the mind means be mindful in your contacts. So grihastha ashrama is what? Nothing but mindful contact ashrama. You understand? Mindfully you contact your senses with the world. Thus, you are not denying your senses, you are not fighting with it, you are not indulging with it. You are not indulging in it. When you are not fighting with it or indulging in it, but mindfully going through that, then you are crossing the senses. Yes, Vindriyani, Manasa, Niyamya, Arvati, Arjuna, Karmendriyai, Karma Yogam, Asakta Sarishya. So fresh vasanas you won't be creating by mindful contact and by allowing the organs of action to direct the existing vasanas for the welfare of the entire universe. In the karma yoga, the existing vasanas also gets exhausted. Fresh vasanas don't get created. The existing vasanas gets exhausted. Then you realize the self. How beautifully explained that in verse number 7, chapter 3. So he is saying this here again. You cannot go to knowledge within without sense control. You have studied already also the 12 yajnas, Dhamma Yajna, Shama Yajna. Is reminding us this again, because lot of us, we do not want to go into sense control, we do not worry about whether we have awareness with our senses or not. But we want to straight away go into meditation, straight away go into the study of Upanishads, this and that. First things first, what are you doing with reference to your sense contacts? Are you becoming aware so that your senses don't trouble you? Like you see a rat in front of Ganesh ji, right? There is Modak. Today we also have Modak here. The only thing is it is closed, fortunately. You understand? So in other words, in front of Ganesh ji, Modaks are there, rat is also there. But the rat is looking up to Ganesha. Can I eat? But that is not what is happening in us. Thought comes. You vaguely remember the thought came, but you already indulged. Then you say, why did I do this? Again the same thing happens. Thought comes, force kills you. Isn't it? This is what is happening to us. So he says, first you must subdue your senses. And then Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam Tat Paraha. Now let us understand this word Tat Paraha. Tat Paraha means that is supreme. That is supreme means what? If you want to attain this Jnanam, you must realize that this jnana has to be attained at any cost. Without attaining this jnana, I am destroying myself and I am destroying others. Therefore, I must attain this jnana. This alone matters to me. This is supreme. See, supposing you realize that you are suffering from a sickness, and if you allow it to continue, it will destroy you. Already it is destroying you. It will destroy you completely. So for you, the most important thing now would be to come out of that ill health. Would anything else matter to you? Share market is going down. It's okay, but let me first get healthy. I am already in ICU. My first goal is to walk. Get out of ICU. How, you know, even in the office they say first get perfectly alright, then you come to work. First take care of yourself. They give him leave and send him back. Similarly, we need to realize that this is something without which we are suffering. The problem is, we are not having this knowledge and we don't even realize that we have this knowledge. When I say this, we don't realize that we have this knowledge within and we need to make it my own. See, what is happening, I'll explain it. What is happening is, like I've said before, we've made this knowledge very common, that you are Atma. So everybody says, yes, I am Atma. I am Atma. I know I am Atma. I know I am Atma. I know I am Atma. Does he really know that he is Atma? But he thinks he knows that he is Atma. These sort of people will harm themselves more than the other fellow who doesn't know that, that he is Atma. Compared to that fellow, he will harm more. Because he thinks that he knows. Are you with me? So he really doesn't think that knowing is necessary. I already know that I am Atma. For him, that is not ultimate. Mumukshatva is what he is talking about here. You push somebody's head into water, he will do anything to get out of water surface, right? Like that, that is supreme. Are we there like that? How much do we really want it? You know, in Art of Living, we sing this bhajan. I like that bhajan very much.
लोग कहते हैं भगवान नाचते नहीं तुम मेरा की जैसे
नचाते नहीं अच्युतम केशव
दैट सॉन्ग व्हाट दे सेइंग इज यू से दैट ही डजंट डांस यू से दैट ही डजंट गिव यू आर नॉट आस्किंग लाइक You are not asking like Arjun. That is, the problem is how really you want it. The seventh chapter is going to talk about different vartas. Artarthi, Artha, Jignasu, Jnani. Artarthi goes to God for wealth. Want this. Invested in this share, make sure that it doubles. Right? By the time I go back to my house. Right? So, Arthati. Then, Artha. There's a problem in the form of so and so at my house. Make sure by the time I go back, I don't want to complete Artha. Right? Then, Jignasu. Curious to know information on him. Nobody goes to God really wanting God. How deeply do you want it? Huh? This is the problem. If you really want it, you will die for it. So he says, unless you want like that, you will not get it. For us, it is not tatpara. One of the examples we discuss in this context is,
you want this, that and the other also.
Supermarket. Go to a supermarket. You have a list of things you want to buy. You made a list. And when you are in the supermarket, they are telling you, 5 minutes, please, we are going to close, etc., etc. Then what do you do? In the list, quickly you buy what is very important for you. Right? Other things can wait. So like that, today, one of the things in our list is
one of the things.
Knowledge. Are you with me?
then you will not gain knowledge. He says, tat para. You know, when you say somebody is devoted, like Jesus Christ says, get thee behind me, Satan. I will have nothing from thy hands. You know, Hanumanji in Ramayana, when he goes to Lanka to find if Mother Sita is there, kept as captive, he is flying across the ocean and a mountain swells and then invites him to stay there and enjoy the everything that the mountain could offer. Hanumanji says, I will come. I'm crossing now, go that side, I'm going on a purpose. I'm going on an obligation. Let me fulfill them. I'm going to come back. I'm going to cross back this time. When I cross back this time, I will come and stay. But let me complete my obligation. You understand? Get thee behind me, Satan. I will have nothing from thy hands. Tat para. How deeply do you really want it? Do you realize that you do not know? That's the thing. Many of us say, I believe. But we really do not believe. I am suppressing my disbeliefs, covering it with beliefs. This is the problem. Little bit you scratch, no? All the disbeliefs will be shown from outside. Shown from inside. Exposed. You say so many things, I believe. A little bit somebody has to come and talk to you. You believe in Krishna, but you know, this is what Krishna did. He took away clothes of all the women when they were swimming. What? This story I didn't know. Little bit he scratched. But you say, no, I continue to believe in Krishna. Then what happens? Somebody else comes and scratches a little more. You know, he always used to play with gopis. Thoda how, you understand? Like that. You know what he did in Kurukshetra war? He made Yudhishthira speak a lie. Ashwatthama idam kunjara. He made Yudhishthira, a pious man like him, speak lies. Thoda how scratch ho gaya. You understand? Like that, what is happening to our thing is, inside is full of disbelief, but outside we have covered it with the so-called belief. This is not real belief. So he says, Shraddha. Shraddha is not skin deep. It is really deep. It is not doubting. It is not doubting. It is indecisiveness. It's firmness. It's consistency. Adi Shankara defines Shraddha as faith in the words of Master. And it's not belief in the words of Master. It's faith. You understand? You will go deep. You will... Nobody can say any stories and take it away. In front of your eyes, you will see Krishna doing so many things, Guru doing so many things. Your Shraddha is not right. Such a person's Shraddha, that kind of Shraddha if you have, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnana. So take all these things together. Shraddhavan Tatparaha Sayatendriyaha. You understand? That kind of a wanting, perseverance, determination. How deeply you want it. You will continue putting in your efforts. You won't even look at the result, whether it has happened or not, because you don't have any disbelief. You are so, there is no indecisiveness at all. The biggest problem is you want enough. Because we really do not believe that I must know Atma first, then the rest. I must know everything else, then thoda thoda Atma also. It's okay. You understand?
such a person cannot know.
See, like I gave you this example before.
You want to gain the complete joy of rain, but you do not want to get wet.
So that is what he is saying. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara sayate indriyam. Remember these three things that he is saying here. Shraddha. It's not a skin deep faith. It's much deeper. Where you say, yes, I, it's like you've been told suddenly in your 25 that we are not your real parents. No? How much you would crave to know who your real parents are, like what happened to Karna in the story of Mahabharata. Karna did not know who his mother was, who his father was. So the thing is, he would do anything to know. That is my primary thing. You cannot have 500 things and then also say, I want to know. No.
I think so.
Therefore they say, finish off all that. Because it's not that Guru doesn't want to teach you. Guru knows that his teaching will not have any effect on you because you still not finished your other thing. You better finish those things and come.
Those things never get over.
When you realize that those things never get over, it will start getting over to you. So that is the thing. See, it looks to us so difficult today. But when that happens, we'll say, how foolish I have been. It looks so easy now. How come I was not able to? But then it takes time. You have to go through. That is why I said, Grastha Ashram. You go through. Then you, all those things will get behind you. You know, then you are there, fully there. You are just wanting that knowledge, nothing else. Like Nachiketa. Nachiketa goes to Lord Yama. And Lord Yama is, giving him three boons because he wasn't there when he went. 3 days they made him wait. So he says, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you are coming, so I made you wait. These people made you wait. So I'll give you three boons. First boon, he says, when I came, my father was agitated, please appease him. Then he told him, please teach me the entire karma kanda. Then the last thing he asks is Brahma Vidya, Atma Vidya. Then when he asks Atma Vidya, Lord Yama doesn't want to give him like that. He really want to test him. So, say, Hare Yad, you're so young, why you want this so soon? The world has so much to offer. Go, enjoy. New things have come in the world. It's time for you to enjoy. It's not the same world anymore. By the time you came to my heaven, this abode, new buildings have come, new things have come. Go back, I'll give you all the passports. He gets disgusted and turns aside. So much wealth is there. His horses are there. Take all of them. It's yours. He gets disgusted and turns aside. So much women. Take all of them. He turns straight to Emma's face and says, you may need them all. Don't waste my time. I don't want anything else. But like they say in Mahabharata, Arjuna was so fixed in that target. Right? He was not seeing the tree, he was not seeing this, he was not seeing anything else. Because until and unless I fix the inside properly, nothing outside can be done. If I'm sitting in darkness in my heart, what light can I give in others? True service can be only done by a person who is a realized soul. All other service is bakwas. If in your own house there is no light, without fixing it first, you are going and giving light everywhere. You don't even have light within you. What light can you fix elsewhere?
You understand? Tatpara. Inside me, I must gain this knowledge. The deeper I am able to go, the greater service I can do. If I stop at the grass level, my service also will be at the grass level. So this is what he is saying. He who has Shraddha, Tatpara. Shraddha is not just faith at the surface level. I have faith, I understand that nothing can be replaced for this. Any other temptation, anything comes, you say, you can keep it. I will go to the end of it, realize the Atma, and then only everything else matters. See, when you take a person and leave him in the middle of the desert, he has to get back to the help of the sun. The moment he sees the sun is rising from this side, one, he is fixed. Therefore, he is able to fix north, south, west, everything. Northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, isn't it? So, we are not having direction in life because our center, Atma, is not yet jagrat for us. It is not yet revealed. Therefore, you know, going around in chakra cycle, you know, trying and wasting our time. So he says, Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan means, it's very clear, please, I don't want, whatever you may offer, it's all fine, but not at the cost of Atmajnanam. Atmajnanam is the primary thing that I. You are blind. Are you me? If you are blind, you must first gain that eyesight now. Without gaining the eyesight, how you can help anybody else cross the road or do anything for that matter? So therefore, when a person realizes this and he has that Shraddha, the Shraddha will take him there. A lot of people say, oh, it's a belief. If he has belief, he'll get there. It is not to be translated as that sort of a belief. Shraddha. Because those kind of people move from believing in God to non-believers. And non-believers to believers. They can be here, they can be there. Any side. But Shraddha fellow cannot be like that. You understand? See, there is a story about Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a very simple man. He doesn't talk too much of logic. He explains things with small stories. He is a man of perfection. He is a realized soul himself. There was a person during his time called Keshav Chandraya. He was extremely logical. He used to argue with so many people and disprove that there is no God. So many people believed in God. He will go and argue. Slowly, when he starts arguing, they will start believing that there is no God. That's what he has done. So he said, now, finally his turn came to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. So when he was coming to him, people gathered so much to know what is going to happen now. It was always Keshav Chandra only one in his arguments. So Ramakrishna and Keshav Chandra came face to face. And Keshav Chandra started arguing so much. You understand? So much that, so logically, this way, that way, all whatever possible ways he argued. As he was arguing, Ramakrishna started dancing. It was disturbing. He said, hey, I am arguing, giving logics. Instead of giving back logics to me, you started dancing. What are you doing? Please give back logic. Let us discuss logic. started dancing in, you know, ecstasy. He said, what a mad thing you are doing. Show me where is God. He says, right here in the form of Keshav Chandra, I'm seeing God. He says, that is why I'm dancing. Oh, what are you saying? Don't give me all this rubbish. I am God. So he said, listen, who else can argue better than God, so well, against God? It has to be God. So you are God. And he went and hugged him. And with such purity, because he is arguing, going on arguing, his shraddha not even a bit taken off. You understand? We say so many people as our friends today. You understand? You say you are a great friend, or he is a great friend of mine. He will not continue to be your great friend. Something somebody comes and tells about him or her. You say fast friends. And the more you give emphasis on that fast, the faster the friendship dissolves. Right? So what is this? This is not what happened to Ramakrishna, right? He is given so many logics. Everything. Ramakrishna hugged him. And he is saying, I am seeing God. It is God in the form of Keshav Chandra who is arguing. Because no one else better than God can argue so well against the existence of God. And he hugged him. And Keshav Chandra fell at Ramakrishna's feet and said, you might not have, you know, given back argument and won against me, but with your love and your sincerity and your shraddha tells me that you are a divine person. You are a realized soul. And I definitely agree there is God, though I have not seen him. I do not have as much shraddha as you, so I can't see him. So in other words, your shraddha will be tested in any areas today, whatever area it might be. We say I have shraddha, whether it is friendship, whether it is husband or wife or friends or relatives or God, whatever it might be. Guru, you understand, how deep is your shraddha? The shraddha will be tested. Because it is only a covering. It has become a fad. You understand? That is the problem. So he is talking about shraddha. Anything anybody says, even if you saw it yourself, I would not. This is not blind belief. That is where the difficulty comes. Then immediately you say it's blind belief. So he says, such shraddha, tatparaha, gendriya. If you have that kind of sense control, then you will have gained that knowledge. And when you gain that knowledge, having attained knowledge, you instantly attain the peace. The moment, see, you find out, when all do I go mad? I go mad when I lose that awareness of who I am. Then the moment I lose the awareness of who I am, the desire takes over. The moment the desire comes, I gave you already the story. The moment the desire comes, disturbance starts. Isn't it? This is the thing. Therefore he says, the moment I gain the knowledge of myself, instantly all the disturbance is gone. You have so much of fear, result of darkness. The moment the darkness was removed, the agitation brought by darkness, the fear, everything vanished. So he says, really if you want peace, it is only in becoming one with your Atma. And that is only possible if you have
Shraddha, sense control.
You keep that as your top. It is not even top priority. It is the only thing. Top priority is also not the correct thing. Correct thing is, that is my only priority. Because I have understood the requirement of realization of the self within. Therefore, I am not budging from it. Such a person gains knowledge. That is why they say when you do tapasya, so many things will come to you. And the fact that so many things will come and tempt you, you may fall for it. That shows that you really do not want the deeper things. You only wanted the other things. See, you can say it's like value versus valuables. Is the value valuable to you, or the valuables are valued by you? Many of us value the valuables, and we seek the help of God to make sure that the valuables are there with us. We really do not have the ultimate value. For us, valuables are our values. Our value is not valuable. So he says, this is the idea. If this fellow is like this, that is his value. And understood. Like Harishchandra story. Understand? Anything may be given. I understood that it is a valuable, but it has no value. Once I understand that it is a valuable without a value, I would not have any value for it. What gives value to a valuable is my Atma. That is what Upanishad says. Everybody else is loved by you because of your love towards Atma. The moment, that's why I told you, my in your son makes you love your son more. Basically, you are loving only yourself. So therefore, knowing yourself is where your ultimate happiness is, ultimate peace is, nowhere else. Love is settled for many things outside. If you're very clear, this comes in your head, that nothing else really matters. Wealth, name, fame, power, position, family, status, money, nothing really matters. You understand, all these valuables have value only because of the Atma. Today we are ready to sell Atma for all those things. Like how Jesus was sold for a few silver coins. This is what we are doing. The moment you understand that is more valuable. You know, Swamiji says, his father told him once. His father always used to take him to this market where old things are sold. In Chennai there used to be a place called Blue Market. Now it is not there anymore. Or maybe it is there somewhere in a different place. He used to take him to the moon market and go to the place where they sell all the books, and he picks up the books which are almost brown and about to break kind of thing. Says, this book must become this sort of books. It's time tested books. You understand? You need such books. So in other words, if only that fellow realized the value of Jesus, would he sell it for a few silver coins? We are more concerned. My brother has taken more, my sister has taken more, my friend has taken more, my this has taken more. What should I do? You have lost the self. That you are not at all concerned. That's what Mahatma tell us. You've lost the self and you are not at all aware of it. There's a beautiful story about a blind man visiting somebody, close friend's house. And when he was about to leave, it was pitch dark, Amavasya darkness. The new moon day. So the friend said, you are going out, might as well take a lamp because it's very dark. So he said, why are you teasing me? Don't you know that I am blind? What difference does it make whether I take the lamp? He said, no, I'm not teasing you. I'm your very good friend. How will I tease you? I'm giving you this lamp. At least others will not come and bang on me. So he felt very sorry and he took the lamp and went. After a while, he found somebody else banging against him. So he said, I am blind. How come you bang against me? Don't you see I am carrying a lamp? He says, you don't realize that the lamp is gone off. He is blind. He doesn't even know that the lamp is gone off. This is how blind we are. You understand? We think we are carrying Atma. I say, I am Atma. I know Atma. I am Atma. But we don't understand that the lamp is gone off. And we have lost the lamp of Atma. That we don't care. You understand? So much is there with us. We are not aware of that. Little portion your brother has taken more. Nobody else. Your brother. Your own sister. Your own children. Your own father. Your own kith and kin. You say that. That terrifies you. Here you lost what is really valuable. This is how ignorant we are. That's what Mahatma tell us. So Shraddhavam Lavate Jnanam Tat Paraha Samyatendriya. You will gain knowledge if you have this. Then with that knowledge, instantly all your agitations will be gone. You will have eternal peace. Any number of acquisitions will not give you the peace. If you have lost the Atma within, any acquisition cannot replace for that. The moment you gain that Atma, instantly you gain that peace. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.